If you don't know that God is good, you don't know God. That's all there is to it. Got a few announcements real quick this morning. Today is the final day to sponsor one or more of Mrs. Scott's, Michelle. They are out for this week. Kindergarten students to receive a book each month of the school year. Total donation needed to sponsor a student is $20. So if you, today's the final day, if you'd like to do that, you can give the money to her mom, Cheryl, and she'll make sure she gets it. Also, this coming Saturday, 9:04 is a men's breakfast. We'll be meeting at the end zone here in Mount Gilead at 9 a.m. If you need more details, right there's Phil. Talk to him. Also, this Saturday is the ladies' double X strength training. It'll be here at the church. We'll be in the conference room, conference center to start, and then come here to the sanctuary for worship. This is a time of fellowship, worship, and prayer. Not a physical workout, but a spiritual one. Happy face. Yeah, you guys will see all the emojis. Hope you can come and bring a friend there. No, please note, there's no child care provided. Thanks again, and this is for ages 13 and up, and nursing babies are welcome. So, praise God. Well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering here this morning, and we're going to, I told you last week, we're going to pray for the school workers, we'll call them, because we got teachers, we got coaches, we got bus drivers, we got every aspect now in here. So we want to pray for them for this upcoming school year. And so let's bless this tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that we can come before you and we can worship your name. Now, Lord, we also come before you and we bring our tithe and our offering. Lord, may it be sweet. Father, this represents the toil of our labor. This is redemption for the 90. Father, I thank you and praise you that you are at work in our lives each and every day, bringing forth your promises. Bless us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a moment. And while the band is coming down, if I could have our school teachers, our bus drivers, coaches, we got a couple I know that are out. So come on down. You're the next contestant on The Prayer is Right. So yeah, obviously, I mean, like I said, I know we've got a couple more that aren't here today, so they'll still be covered in prayer. But we like to do this every year to pray because you guys have a great opportunity. You know, as teachers, you're working and with these kids in their lives every day. You see them, you can see things, and you can pray. Sometimes you don't even have to go and deal with something. If you see how a child is acting and instantly know something's off, you can pray. So, you know, that's what we want to make sure that we're taking all the opportunities that we have to work with children. You know, I know many of you work here in the church with the children. That is such a huge blessing. And, you know, the fact that you do it throughout your employment tells me you're crazy. No. No. Joe might be a bit. But anyhow, we want to just tell you, you know, I mean, I never got to tell you my teachers what I really thought of. You guys do a good job. We're proud of you. You know, I mean, my boys, they've had Joe and Faye. They never had any of, well, I think Jesse. Jesse made it. And that was real difficult for him because he was like, that's Morgan. Why can't I call her Morgan? No, that is not Morgan. And so anyhow, but it's been a real blessing to see, you know, have teachers for our kids and, you know, to see them come up and then we see the teachers here. So, but I'm going to pray over you and today you get anointed. And I'm not going to spit on you, I promise. Would you pick that up? I can bend over and pick it up, but I might be another hour getting back up. But anyhow, I'm going to pray over you. So y'all, if you'll stretch your hands forward and pray and believe with us right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these people. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom. I pray that you give them insight into these children's lives, Father. Give them the words to speak into these children's lives, Father, to pray for those children that they see that are hurting or something wrong, Lord. I pray that you give them the strength as well this year as they go through another year dealing with this COVID. Father, I pray right now for peace, for your strength in all these things, Father God. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in their lives, Father, that you're helping them to help the students, the athletes that they're working with. Father, I thank you and praise you for this. We pray your protection over them, over our children. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over them right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray Psalm 91, nothing shall harm them. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving, and this includes our teachers who are not here today, Father. We bless them as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. And the super kids are now dismissed. And that's the anointing oil that I really like. It's got frankincense and myrrh in it. It smells like a good cologne, a good manly cologne. All right. Well, we're going to delve on into a closer look at the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been learning that the Holy Spirit's job is to help us and empower us to be better Christians, to be better followers of Christ. Not to make us stupid, not to make us weird. And unfortunately, it seems like growing up, that was just seemed where I always ended up at, was in the weird group. And I'm like, please, can't somebody be normal? And when I say normal, and everybody's, oh, I don't like to be normal. Well, I don't either. But what's normal to God is not being stupid. It's the only way I can put it. Because I've seen the abuse of it over and over and over. I've told you for the last, believe it or not, 20 years. It's going to be 20 years this October. I've seen the gifts of the Spirit. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. And I've seen people who, they took something and they perverted what God meant for good and they turned it to evil and created, and I'll talk about that today because hopefully I can get to it. I gave Jason back here two of them little pages of note of my scripture references. But we got some scripture to look at today, and that's not even the end of it. But we're going to get into that today. We're going to get into some of the things about the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit desires to live within us. I personally believe that when you accept Jesus Christ, you get a taste. You get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. You don't get the baptism that Paul talked about, that Jesus talked about. The baptism is something you have to want to do. And so we're going to hopefully get a lot of things squared away for some people, because I know, and that was one of the questions, was some of the things about the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought this and I thought that, and I've heard people say, well, tongues have passed away. Well, knowledge hasn't passed away. Why would tongues pass away? Knowledge has increased, so what does that mean for the gifts of the Spirit? They should increase. So, I believe it's actually in 1 Corinthians, it says, until that which is perfected. And, you know, the groups that fight this, they say, well, the Bible was canonized in 325 AD, and therefore we don't need the tongues anymore. Paul wasn't talking about the Bible. He's talking about love. When our love is perfected, we don't need the Holy Spirit to tell us things and to pray for us, because we'll be able to look at somebody. I could look at my sister and she could ask me to pray for something unspoken, and God may reveal it to me. But now, instead of judging her in what I'm supposed to be praying for her about, I can pray with all love. And I'll tell you something. When you can pray for people without judging them, realizing you're in the exact same boat, that's when love starts to mature. That's when love starts to grow up. Love doesn't need to be sitting there, well, you know, I'm so much better than that, Trisha. I mean, come on. You know what? No, you're not. Here's a helping hand for everybody in here. You're no better than anybody else, but nobody else is any better than you. Keep it in balance. The Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We got so many. When I was growing up, it was all you need to be dead last. You need to be. I'm like, listen. First off, my name's Waddell. Do you know where I'm at in the school line? There's A. There was no Z. Ziegler was 2 years ahead of me. And there was no Youngs in my class. So I'm like, there I was, all the way at the end. I'm like, I'm always last. So, you know, they try to teach false humility. And I'm hoping to, you know, over the years that I've tried to teach you what real humility is. You know, and I've used the example of the Marines, the few, the proud, and everybody's like, oh, you're so obnoxious. Oh, yeah, we're cocky. You can ask anybody that's ever actually ran into a Marine, especially on active duty or out of boot camp. They're the cockiest things you ever. That's why they send us home. You do know that. And so we get some of that slapped out of us. Yeah, usually by your mama. But the military has a right to roll their shoulders back. Because they also signed a check for their life. Ain't too many people do that. As a matter of fact, it's 1.3% of the population of the United States actually does that. So just so you know, out of 350 million, only 1.3% actually do that. And that's all the branches. And then down here's the Marine Corps at 0.008 or something stupid like that, out of that. But everybody serves, and so everybody gets my respect. And I'm going to give them their ribbings, their due. They're going to take their licks. Just all there is to it. I love you, and if I quit picking on you as another branch, then it means I don't love you anymore. So I tell my boys, Dad, you haven't picked on me for a while. What have you been doing? No. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, the first thing we need to understand is, in the beginning, Adam had the Holy Spirit. Adam was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, well, how did he learn all this stuff? And how did he? He had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had God's mind. Has God's mind. Let me correct that. Has God's mind and God's thoughts. God has all knowledge and all wisdom. He possesses wisdom. So Adam, therefore, got it because of the Holy Spirit. However, after Adam messed up, things went awry. He opened Pandora's proverbial box. And everything went crazy. And at that point, God saw that every thought, every desire of man's heart was evil. Does that sound like any time anybody might recognize currently? Everything we think about is evil. We think we're trying to make people equal, but we're not. We're imprisoning them to evil and to sin. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. All right. He said, my spirit shall not live. That's what strive means there. It means he shall not live with man. And as a matter of fact, he said at this point on, and you need to understand, this is not how long man gets to live. I've heard that false teaching. The facts do not match up. And I say the facts of the Bible. Okay, I don't care about man's facts. They make up crap all the time. But At this point, man had 120 years left before God sent the flood. When you do a timeline, you will see that is exactly right. 120 years was what he said, from this day to this day, 120 years. Well, nobody knew. God knew. He said it right there. So that's what that 120 years means, if you're ever wondering. But he said, my spirit, my Holy Spirit, my set-aside spirit should not have to live with this. How bad was it? Think about this for a minute. How bad was things that God said, I'm taking the Holy Spirit out of here, and I'm going to kill you all. It was bad. It was really bad. So we see God takes the Holy Spirit from us. Now, if you go through the Bible, you will see there are times when you have prophets. They prophesy under the power of the Holy Spirit. David would play under the power of the Holy Spirit. There's even a time where Samuel and the prophets that were standing, they were having a prayer meeting, and Saul came up to them, and nobody knew what they were saying. And Saul came up to him. I don't remember what he wanted and what he was looking for, but he came up and said, and the Spirit laid on him, and he began to ramble and babble. In other words, he began praying in the Spirit as well because of the influence of these prophets. So the Holy Spirit did not rest on anybody like it can today. And we'll hit on that today, why we can have the Holy Spirit. So now we fast forward to John chapter 20 and verse 22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There's a reason Jesus did this. This is not Pentecost. This is not when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Do you remember when Jesus was being tried and Peter had already been told, you'll deny me three times? He denied Jesus three times. But then after he rose from the dead, he was with Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. I think he actually said, feed my lambs. He said, Peter, do you love me? This time Peter said, well, yes, Lord, you know I do. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. Jesus did that three times because Peter denied Jesus three times. He restored what the devil took. Do you know what Jesus just did right here? He restored what God had to take away. He put the Holy Spirit back among men. That's what he did. They weren't baptized. Nothing happened after this. This was it. They went. He restored what took place in Genesis. You need to understand something about what our lives are supposed to be. I got people preaching all kinds of weird, goofy crap that we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do this. Jesus came to restore things back to pre-sin days in the garden. That's what he came. We were built for this earth. You do understand that. We are designed to live on this planet. I can't say that there aren't any other planets anywhere. I've never been there. I think it would be cool, particularly since you're in space and you're traveling roughly 18,000 miles an hour. Come on, talk about a rush. And to think you can go, and I've always wondered, how do they not hit stars? On Star Wars, how do they not hit a star? Jason, I know you're a big, how do they not hit stars when they go in hyper? How? Don't know. It's going to be something I've got to ask God. How are we traveling this fast, Lord, and we're not hitting stars? Because they're everywhere. But he restored what was taken away from man. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus is talking to his followers and everybody around him. He's telling them about being good fathers and evil fathers. you know, that we even on earth being evil fathers, it's what he called us, know how to give our children good gifts, how much more than the good father? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here's the key. I can lay hands on you 100 times until you in your heart want it. That's where it comes. Until you actually want it. I gave up years ago on trying to figure out why people don't get healed. What am I, a psychic? No. I know preachers they'll tell you their version of why somebody didn't get healed, and it could be true. Sometimes people are just tired of fighting, and they're ready to go. And let me tell you something, when somebody's in that state, when they're ready to go, you aren't keeping them. And if I'm in that state and I'm ready to go, you're not keeping me. Now, we figured I might be 101, but Joshua and I were talking about something the other day. I don't remember. I said, man, that'd make me 101. If I'm still around at that point, but if I'm laying in a bed, hooked to tubes, and got them up my nose, down my throat, don't you dare come in here and lay hands on me. Just let me go. I got to do not hook plug me in until I'm about 75 to 80. After that, I'm not worried about it. Just saying. There's a whole much more waiting because I get to come back glorified. Anyhow, I'm a bit off track. But you being evil know how to give good things. How much more than our Heavenly Father who knows how to give us good things will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If we ask, He will give it. But here's the problem when we ask of the Holy Spirit, or we ask God, we're always going, God, can I have a new Cadillac? Can I have a bigger house? God's like, you don't clean the one you got now. You don't take care of the car you got now. And I ain't saying you got to be so anal about cleaning your car that you don't let anybody put their feet down on the floor mats. Oh, I've had people, they've just been beside themselves when I pull up in my truck and I've got dirt all over the back, there's mud on it. Oh, clean your truck, blah, blah, blah. It's a truck. I bought a pickup truck for a pickup truck. Do I clean it? 2 or 3 times a week. That's why I pay for that and drive through the car wash. Because it's a kind of big investment, especially now. I take care of it. I take care of my house. And guess what? I actually didn't have to ask God for them. He brought them. We had in our hearts what we always thought we'd like. We were going one way, and God shut the doors bigger and big on our toes on that one. And brought us to a house that, you know, you've heard me testify, and she'll testify. She kind of cried. There were mouse traps on the counter. The view was great. And now we realized we're sitting in what our dream was the whole time. We didn't ask at that point, God, we need this great big dream house. You know, when you say dream house, everybody thinks it's a big mansion. You still got to clean it. The spiders. You can ask Phil on this place. Phil is the only man I know who was obsessed with those chasing him tiny little spiders. He was in the nursery last week with the kids' toys, and there was this tiny spider that looked like a salt or a speck of pepper. And he's chasing this thing underneath this toy. It's in the cracks and crevices. He got it, by the way. But think about that. You got a great big mansion. You can ask Phil how many spiders are actually in this place. So if you got a fear of spiders, in the words of the Eagles, get over it. Because they're everywhere. You're not getting away from them. God can help you with that, by the way, through His Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's one of the good gifts. Now, Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They had to wait. Now, he's speaking immediately to these people. You need to wait 50 days, 7 weeks and one day. That is what Pentecost is. It's a celebration of a new beginning. However, people that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called Pentecostals. Which, by the way, we are not of the Pentecostal denomination. Notice our women do not have their hair cranked up in buns. The men can do whatever they want, but the women have to wear buns and denim skirts and stuff. Why? Doesn't mean they're not my brothers and sisters. I just totally disagree with them on some things. But that don't matter. My right thumb thinks it's the best when sometimes my left thumb thinks it's the best. I think they're both right. I should say correct. If I say they're both right, then my right thumb gets a little more jealous. So they had to tarry. Now, Acts chapter 2. Why were they tarrying? Why were they waiting? They were waiting for this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Stop right there real quick. It says the sound of a mighty, it didn't say a rushing mighty wind. They were filled with sound. I've shared with you a few years ago, I went looking for a grave of my dad's friend in high school who was killed in Vietnam. And it was on the side of a mountain in West Virginia. Dad couldn't remember where it was at. I got the address. The guy, his brother, told me, yeah, you got to go up here, and then you got to look for... Y'all, I'm telling you something. You get down in West Virginia, and they start telling you to look for this and look for that, and it fell down 20 years ago. I'm riding my motorcycle over these mountaintops, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay. And finally, I came across it, and right across the side of this mountain were these transmission tower lines. And they, on the side of a mountain, they're a little bit closer, okay? Because we're in between the towers at this point. I was close enough, I could hear the sound of that power going through there. And it was a hum. I'm standing there looking. I mean, I know they were higher than this, but I was just like, wow. That's a lot of power. That's what they were hearing. They were hearing the power come in and that sound. You know, when somebody turns on a large sound system and they crank, you can hear the thing start to hum. And it is a phenomenal thing to hear power, sheer power. And that's what hit them in that upper room. It was probably a room about the size of this. That Holy Spirit hit them. All right, next. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As each one began to feel this. Listen, a lot of people say, well, this is evidence that you are filled. Not necessarily. They began to speak as God gave them the utterance. When God gives you an utterance, it's time to open your mouth. I know I've laid hands on many people over the years. Some of them have, some of them haven't. If it's still your desire, keep pressing in. Keep pushing to know God. And then you got to do that one thing that your pride says, no, no, I'm not going to do it. Nyet, nein. You've got to open your mouth and let the words out. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. Good. That's the point. It's now the Holy Spirit praying through you. Back in the early 2000, I want to say 03, somewhere in there, the University of Pennsylvania decided to do a study to try to tell people that people who were speaking in tongues were actually creating it in their brain. So they got spirit-filled people. And they got regular people, and they tested them. They put the things on their heads, and they could tell that they're not thinking about anything. They were doing tests. They said their brain waves are normal. And they said, now, begin to pray. And these people began to have a Holy Ghost service in that study. Nothing moved on their charts. Because it's not us. It's the Spirit that prays. If you're making up the words, well then quickly stop. Get your boat rowing however you got to get it moving, but stop. Because I'm here to tell you that the untie my bow tie Yamaha Kawasaki stuff only works so long. You've got to let the Holy Spirit speak. He does more than stutter. When you open it up, and it's a language. That's why these people were actually given a language of several people, of more than several. There were whole groups of people from Rome, from what is modern-day Turkey, and Asia, and all around Egypt, Libya. There were devout men who were there for the festival of Pentecost. And because they were there, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their language. Now, here's the thing. Everybody walking around and they say, oh, yeah, man, I know Harold. Boy, Harold, you must have hit the new wine early today. Listen, he's babbling. I can't make sense of what that guy's saying. But yet the guy next to him understood every word he said. That's an evidence right there that, yes, God created all the tongues. Well, hang on, we're not done. There's a whole lot about the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I've been having a lot more dreams lately. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. The word prophesy means to bring forth the utterance of God, to bring forth God's word into this earth. Today I am prophesying. I'm bringing forth God's word to you. When you pray about a situation that is happening in somebody's life, we've had lots to pray about this week. We've been getting into seeing praise reports too. But we've been having lots of opportunities. When you begin to pray, and that's why the Holy Spirit fills in when we can't. Again, we'll get there. But when you can love, when you can empathize with somebody, say, who lost their son this week, then you're operating in love. You don't need the Holy Spirit. It's just when you start calling forth death, you need to stop. You need to stop. These people are going to spend eternity without God. If you have a dark, dark basement, go down in there, shut the lights off, sit there for just a moment, remembering every horror movie you ever thought of, you've ever seen. Now imagine millions of people around you are experiencing the same thing, and they begin to scream and they begin to scratch on the stone. That's what hell is. God's not there. See, you have the hope that you can flip the switch back on and the light comes back on and you can see, ah, I'm not in hell. They don't ever have that opportunity. We can pray for these people. There's going to be people die without Jesus. It's not going to be because we prayed that they die. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit. When did the last days begin, folks? The day Jesus went up. That's when the last days began. Everybody's like, when are we in the last days, preacher? You're in them. You've been in them for nearly 2,000 years. Oh, holy moly, what gives? God is eternal. God is not constrained by a mere 2,000. According to Peter, it's only 2 days. 2 days. I remember 2 days ago. Do you remember 2 days ago? It really wasn't that long ago. I can remember 20 years ago now. Sheesh. And just like that, 2 days went by. God's like, ain't nothing but 2 days for me. Hold on. That's why I sent you my Holy Spirit. I don't understand what the time frame is. I really don't. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when the foundations of the earth were laid. I wasn't there when Satan fell. I wasn't there. And I'm not going to presume to tell you that I know exactly when Jesus come back. I don't. And what I read last week, he said you can't know the seasons. And I've been told, you know, you need to watch a hermeneutical, is that what it is, hermeneutical? Some stuff's written to the Jews. Well, I believe that's written to believers. So we'd shut up and do what we're supposed to do. Instead of running around trying to say, oh yeah, it's going to be in the fall of this festival. It's going to be the tabernacle, the tents. No, don't worry about it. How about we do what we're supposed to be doing? That's why Jesus said in the last days, in the day of the Son of Man, he said, it'll be like the days of Noah. People will be giving in marriage, they'll be planning, they'll be building, they'll be buying, and they'll be selling. Why? Because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That is what we're supposed to be doing. If we just stop and we all go get us a nice little commune somewhere in the desert in Texas, you know, and we don't let the world in, and you know, we regulate and we protect ourselves. But now we're a cult. Yeah, I saw some people like, what are you talking about, preacher? No, that's a cult. That's not what we're called to. We're called to be out in the places. I don't give all my business to just Christians. I'd like to, but I don't. And I say I'd like to because I wish everybody was a Christian. But they're not. Sometimes you got to give it to somebody else. Sometimes that's the witness to somebody else. Young men will have visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I like to say it's because we nap more. But I have to say God's given me visions and dreams, given me a lot more dreams than he has visions over the years, even as a young man. So I don't think it's based on your age. Maybe a little more on your spiritual growth. But, because I know, I'm still a lot younger than some of you. I'm looking around, I'm like, yeah, there was a time I was the youngest, except for her. But we're experiencing something with the growth of the Holy Spirit. He will grow you up. You got to start with the stuff you can control. Forgiveness, unforgiveness. You're the one who controls that. God doesn't. He said, forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. Right? All right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It says they will recover. Everybody says, well, I didn't feel any better 5 minutes later. It's about a recovery time. Maybe sometimes God just says, Phil, you need to take a nap. Phil's like, yes, Lord. I'm not going to fight you on that. Or maybe you need to quit taking so much on yourself. Maybe you need a break. You know what the word Sabbath? The Sabbath was built for us. We weren't built for the Sabbath. The day doesn't know any different. The day doesn't know that it's a Sabbath. It only knows what it is because we call it what it is. But we keep ourselves so busy, especially today, that I personally, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think this maybe have some truth to it. I believe the United States really shot themselves in the foot back in the industrial age when we began to create factories and we started going 7 days a week. There's no more Sabbath. There's no more Sabbath. There's no more rest. We think we got to be going 7 days a week now. Guess who's no longer the king of production? We've lost it. Why? I believe because we did that. And even when people didn't have to work, I knew a lot of guys, well, I don't have to work, but I'm going to. It's double time. So what? You know, I did it. Well, I only worked one Sunday. And I told the guy that forced me, because I wasn't in the union yet, and I said, don't talk to me anymore. He didn't last long at the factory anyhow. But I worked 6 days a week. I was working the holidays. Holiday was triple pay. That was good money. You know what? It wasn't worth it. Because Joshua was little. Oh, he won't remember, and he won't. But I do. I didn't need to work all that. Because once I went over 60 hours, I had to get to 72 to make any more money. It's like, what do you mean I just gave Uncle Sam $600? That's my money. If you'll back up to 17, Jason. And these signs will follow. In my name they will cast out demons. The authority given to us by the name of Jesus Christ, we have the authority over demons. Now, you need to understand something. People have to want to get rid of them. Just like their sickness, they got to want to get over it. I've prayed for many, many people, and God has showed, and they're not being delivered from things. And I'm like, God, why are they not being delivered? And he told me one time, he says, because they love what it does. It's a rush. What happens when you take your first hit of Coke? It's a rush, right? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Then you want that rush again. But now you're a build up to that amount, and you need to go more, and you need to go more, and then suddenly you need it all the time, and it just takes over. You didn't mean for it to do it, but that's what happens. But in my name they will cast out demons. There are demons. They are very real. You have to be able, you can't be afraid of them. I'll tell you right now, fear will not, a demon will not leave because of fear, and a demon will not leave because you practice what the church calls their way of casting out demons. When I call it witchcraft. Let's go get our little maple leaf and our holy water and or our crucifix, and you're coming out in Jesus. I've never even heard him use the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God compels you. No, shut up and get out of him. Jesus said, shh, get. But if you have any ounce of fear, now just so you know, fear is also the spirit that drives anger. I don't want to be in that anymore. Because it brings fear into other people. I've been in places where I've seen people who just let go. Alcohol took over and they let go and we hid. That's all there was to it. They will speak with new tongues. Now, the interesting thing about the word tongues in the New Testament, it's the same word. There is no other word for the gift of the Holy Spirit or the thing that's in your mouth. It's the same word. It means something is coming out through there. But he says they will speak with new tongues. I can learn a language. Not real well. I remember a few words. First word you should learn is no in any language. That'll help you out. No. And then learn yes. Next. They will take up serpents. Let's put the brakes on here real quick. We've talked about it before many, many times. He's not saying get you a box of rattlesnakes and keep them under the front row. And when the spirit hits you and you start dancing like this, and you grab your snakes and you go... By the way, that's exactly what their services look like. I want to know what you took before you got out there and decided I'm going to pick up a rattlesnake. Stare them down? What are you, stupid? That's not the Holy Spirit. You've been duped. My mother told me she kept this from me for years. And we were talking one day, and she said, "Yeah," she said, my grandmother, which would have been, her grandma, my great grandmother. She said I used to go to church with her. She said I'd get up there and I'd sit with my grandma on the front row. She said, and then one Sunday I'm up here sitting with my grandma, and one of the elders comes over and he moves my legs to size. He reaches out, pulls a box out from underneath the seat, pulls over and starts pulling out rattlesnakes. She was sitting on top of them. She said, I never went back. He's not talking about us playing with snakes. You can ask Steve Irwin if he was still around. They will bite you every time. I have to say, that guy was nuts. He'd sit there and have a python. Oh, look at her. She's beautiful. She's just working those teeth. I'm like, hey, what happened in your brain? That's got to hurt. Guy had more guts than I had on some things. He's talking about in the instance of Paul. Paul picked up a bundle of firewood. It was sticks. They were building a fire on the beach, and he's on an island in the Mediterranean. And he picks up, and there's lots of poisonous snakes in that area, just so you know. And he picks up this bundle of sticks, and this little viper comes out, and it latches into his arm. And instantly, the people began to think, justice. You need to understand, justice was a Roman god. And in a Roman god, justice, if something bad happened to you, you were a bad man. He was on a prisoner ship. He was a bad man. Justice has prevailed. He's going to die. All Paul did was threw the stuff down and shook the snake off in the fire, began to preach Jesus, and they all sat there knowing. You need to understand, like in Okinawa, there's a snake called a habu. It's only about this long. It is a deadly little thing. It can strike you 360 degrees. It does not have to coil. So if he's facing that way, I'm not safe. A rattlesnake, you're safe. Cobra, you're safe. They got to come around and face you. He can launch and come back and get you. And with a habu, you have 5 minutes. That's how deadly they are. I saw pictures in the snake museum over there of people's legs who had gotten bit. And Okinawans are small people. You know, and I'm not kidding. Their calves may be this big. But when their calf is like that and split because of the poison, and they end up either losing the leg or dying, that's what they were waiting for. This, whatever snake it was nothing you just played with. And he lived. And hour after hour went by, and he's been talking about this man named Jesus. And they said, hey, okay, whoa, back. We need to listen to this guy. Something is greater in him that was in that snake. Of the Holy Spirit. They got saved. The whole island began to serve God. As a matter of fact, they said, you know what, man, thank you for introducing us to this God. Man, we'll turn our backs on them other ones. Hey, obviously a phony. It said, here, as a matter of fact, look, we're going to give you an offering. You take it, bless however, take all these clothes, take this. And then of all the things, you know, if you understand how this went, Paul gets picked up by a ship from Alexandria. This is a trading ship. This is more like a cruise ship compared to the thing he was just on. He comes into Rome, by the way, he's still a prisoner. And he's up there and he's got new duds on, he's got bling bling on. And he's going to get killed. Do you understand this? This is how he rolled into Rome to preach to Rome. In the glory of everything that Rome thought was glorious, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he shook off a snake. He wasn't playing with it. Now, if you drink anything deadly, it will not hurt you. This is not Jim Jones 101. It obviously will kill you. He's not talking about if you intentionally drink it, it's not going to hurt you. I don't go out and drink ethylene glycol just for the fun of it. Great antifreeze for those of you who don't know. But I have had plenty of it in my mouth. As a mechanic, it was inevitable. Somebody's going to pull a hose off over your head. And sure enough, it did. It's very sweet. I've had every part, transmission fluid, brake fluid, and that stuff is nasty. I ain't going to say that it hasn't caused any things, but no. It says you shall drink anything deadly. In other words, and this is what we're believing for a lot of people, folks. You need to understand where I'm at. I'm going to tell you right now where I'm at as far as vaccination. I'm not taking it yet until God tells me. And the reason being, I have family who are nurses who are seeing people coming in 30 years old having strokes. And this was their only common denominator. Something's not right. So what I'm believing for everybody who has taken it, right here, this is the scripture I'm standing for everybody. I don't care. Listen, I believe in vaccination. You need to understand this. I got my tetanus shot 2 weeks ago. Okay, I'm not against it. Two and two don't add up. That's all I'm saying. But that's where I'm believing for all of you. And some of you being pressured into taking it. I get it. I've taken vaccinations before. As a matter of fact, I got vaccinated. It was usually about 10 shots before you could even think about getting on an airplane to go to a jungle. So, been vaccinated before. I don't have anything against you. And don't have anything against me, please. I'm just saying, I'm just not doing it yet. I almost did it, but right now I'm holding off. I want to know what God says. But this is what I'm standing on. And even if I do get down, it's not going to hurt me. Nothing's going to happen. I'm a believer, and I have this. It says if you drink it. You don't do it intentionally, right? Just so you know, I didn't drink the antifreeze intentionally or the brake fluid. It was just a part of my job that eventually it was going to get me. Just like an electrician. Eventually, they're going to get shocked. I got a wrench. Got a big hole in it. That was just from being a mechanic, crossing over to the electrical field. But it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Don't let your faith be moved because somebody didn't get up and walk instantly. Have faith. Stand in faith. There are times God tells people to do something, and if they don't do it, it's on them. Jesus told the lame man, he said, get up and walk. Well, if the guy had said, well, okay, I'm here, Jesus, but I'm going to sit back down because I'm scared. I knew a man in North Carolina, his brother, faith-filled preacher. His brother helped me greatly in a lot of areas by listening to his teaching and even his example. But he was blind. And my pastor kept saying, why won't you believe? And he says, I'm afraid. I have been blind all my life. What will I do? He says, I don't have a skill to use. Mom has always taken care of me. I've lived with my mom. He was afraid to go any further. So he didn't want to be healed. There are people like that. And like I said, there are people, they grow accustomed to their ailment. I had, that year I broke my leg, I remember laying there thinking, how will I know life without a broken leg. That whole year I was in that pain. And when I got healed, you know what happened? When it was all healed up and I finally could walk, I missed the pain. It's weird, I know, but I missed the pain. For a solid year, I had been with that pain. I missed it. Oh, I don't miss it anymore. But I'm just telling you, that's what happens. People get rid of, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but I do know some who it is, because God told me, their depression. They miss the little ups and downs. They begin missing that instead of, hey, we're on a nice, normal. Guess what? Everybody's got ups and downs. Everybody. Even the happiest person on earth is going to have their bad days. But don't be moved because, well, I didn't see the healing manifest immediately. Who are you, God, to say how God's going to heal them? Sometimes God uses a doctor. And sometimes it just goes away. I'm not going to sit here and ask God, contend with God because of my stupidity of, oh, you didn't heal him the way I thought you were going to heal him. That's okay. He healed them how they needed to be healed. That's all there is to that. I could have possibly become a preacher some other way without having to join the Marines. I can't personally imagine that, because I had to become a man first. And I'll admit, just because I was 18, I wasn't a man. But they will recover. Okay. I'm going to read this last scripture because we're not going to make it to all of them. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. That's what the Holy Spirit told me when I was reading this last one. I was putting up there, like, I said, yeah, you ain't going to make them all. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Again, prophesying is bringing forth the word of God into the realm. We're going to talk more next week about, yes, I know next week is also war on the floor, but we're going to talk about what these gifts are. What praying in tongues is. What prophecy in tongues is. That's what this is. We're going to talk about all that. When they're to be used, when they're not to be used. The Bible is very clear on certain things. Now, but the Bible does not say we can't. But Paul said, I would rather have 3 words spoken in a language that Phil can understand than 1,000 in a language he can't. And therefore, that is why, even in this church, that is our stipulation on bringing forth words of prophecy. If you have a prophetic utterance, you had better be ready to bring forth the English. That's all there is to it. The interpretation, that is scriptural. So many spirit-filled churches don't want to run with what the word says. We're just going to do whatever we're going to do. We're just going to be all crazy in here because that's the spirit moving. No, it's not. God has order. That's what Paul was trying to get. How is it everybody's got a tongue? How is it everybody's got a song? And again, just because you got a song don't mean you're anointed to sing. Yeah, I'm not. That anointing went over here. It went to my children. It missed me. But we'll talk about the gifts as well as using gifts. Jesus said gifts. He used that word gifts. You know how to give good gifts. How about the Father? Everybody in here's got a gift. Some of you are phenomenal writers, excellent musicians, awesome artists. You have gifts. But what happens when you quit using that gift? Just like my joints, when I'm sitting still too long, they get a little stiff and a little less wanting to work. But boy, when I get them up and I start working, I can move. But if I sit on the floor for 10 minutes, somebody come pick me up. Because my legs have said, see ya. No, it's just because of inactivity. So don't ever think that, well, God gave me this gift and I don't know why. God gave you a gift, use it. If you're gifted in something, by all means, use it. You don't have to use it just here in the church. That's the problem. So many people think, well, I got to use it in the church only. No. How? I mean, yeah, you can use your gifts to minister to people in the church, but how about the world? That's why I encourage you, if God has given you something, a story or a poem for the newsletter, put it in there. As long as Andrew Dice Clay wasn't your mentor, we're okay. That's a stab back to the 80s. He's foul-mouthed. Yeah. As long as you're glorifying God, and you know what? And it doesn't have to have 10 scripture references in it. You know, painting a picture of a flower. You know, Miss Brenda, I came across that little tiny skunk you painted. She's an awesome painter. And she would go through, when they'd work the field up, she would go back there and she would find rocks and clean them. And she would paint them. Paint whatever. She would see the animal in it. And I'm like, how did you see a skunk? And I think we actually had one. It was a fawn you gave us. It was a bigger rock. And it was a fawn. And I think it's got to be in the barn somewhere, but that's where I found it, because after we moved, everything just kind of ended up there. So we're still digging out, but I came across it, and I thought of her. You know, and Miss Faye is carving. She took up carving. She's learning how to carve things. I've got things, an eagle, globe, and anchor she carved for me. She's carving some beautiful stuff, and the more she does it, the more skilled she gets at it. The more you do something, the better you will be at it. I used to be a really good artist. I could draw cars that looked real. Probably could if I took about another 2 years to get the juices flowing. But I always had a tendency, I had a flaw. Scale was huge for me. My cars always went off the corner of the paper. Every one of them's missing the left front headlight. I'm like, that didn't work out. Need more paper. Don't let your natural gifts go aside because somebody said, oh, God doesn't use them. Them ain't the gifts. He gave them to you. I'm here to tell you, folks, there's some people that God's going to get up in heaven and he's going to say, come to the back room with me for just a minute. I got something to show you. You're going to get back here. Oh, Jesus, what you going to give me? He's going to go, now. Next time I give somebody a gift to sing, don't tell them that it's not important, that they're not ministering to people. Thank you. I just think it's going to happen. Because we think we're smarter than God, because we think we got to bring everything into the same Holy Spirit that gives me some of the gifts that I operate in. I still hesitate on calling some of them what they are, but I just realized today I'm actually an apostle. I started a church. That's what apostles do. They're not like the apostle in the movie, The Apostle with Robert Duvall. That's not an apostle. Apostles go, they get in a community, they get people saved, and they start building those people up. It takes 2 to 3 years. They invest, and they get on, and then they move on, and they leave a thriving body. That's the role of an apostle. That was Paul's job. That's why Paul said it should come first, because somebody needed to start the church. I get that now. Go figure. But we're going to get more into that. And all this stuff, like I said, there's more to the Holy Spirit than all the things that the church has been divided with for years. And nearly every denomination out there on the Pentecostal side has started out with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, we don't think that's for today. Jesus has changed, don't you know, brother? Bless God, if he wanted people being happy and he wanted people being delivered, then he would do it. Enter the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Religion wants to keep us chained to that log from yesterday. Don't know about y'all, but I just as soon cut the log up and burn it, just like I did the one 2 years ago. Don't let people tell you that the Holy Spirit's not for today. The Holy Spirit is more for today than any day. All right, let's stand. Remember this week, and those of you that haven't, because I haven't heard any presidential decree, and I see a lot of people are just automatically doing it, lower your flags. Was it? Okay. I hadn't heard because I just haven't been listening to anything lately. But I know Doc Barclay sent something out the other day. He said, lower your flags. And we lowered ours and the other day. So, but just do that. And remember this week, be praying for those families. I know the corpsman was from Berlin Heights. And I may be actually going to the funeral. But as an escort. And anybody, Patriot Guard riders is who's doing it. I've went to a few military funerals, and you stand with a flag. It'll change you. But, yeah, just remember those families. See, that's when you can pray for those families, and pray that God can move in their lives and that his peace and love is stirred in them. That's love. And if you want to know what they need, that's what they need right now. Yeah, they knew going in that this was always a possibility. But they always pray that it never happens. So just keep that in mind. And was there anything else I needed to? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end, Lord God. Father, you know what's happening. You see it. You saw it. So, Father, we thank you and praise you that you have us here. We will stand. We will believe for everything that is right. We will trust in you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in this country. Father, Lord God, I don't care about prosperity. I don't care how big my church gets. I ask, Lord, that people get saved. Father, that revival hits across this country, that dead, dry churches will rise up powerful. Lord God, across this community, I bless these churches with power. Father, I thank you that lives are being changed in them. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the doors you're opening, the chains that you're cutting. Father, I thank you right now that people's lives, even in here right now, people at home, Father, their lives are being changed. They're more victorious, Father God. They are moving in your path, Lord God. Father, and everyone who wants the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, you fill them. Fill them, fill them, fill them. Father, so that when it hits them, they can't shut up for an hour. Lord, I thank you that their lives will be so powerful. Their joy will be full, and their joy will remain and not disappear at the next headline in the news. Father, I thank you for what this body is seeing. I thank you for the life. I thank you for the strength that I see in each and every person. Father, I pray that you bless them. I bless them, Father. And we pray for those among us who have been sick, Lord God. Send your healing power right now and finish the healing up in them. Father, I thank you that you're moving. Father, I thank you for those who have been forced to work, Lord God. I bless them. Fill their days, pour your spirit out on them. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in ways that people are astounded to see happen. In Jesus' name, amen.